Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know this is a difficult day for all of you in Canada. What with the Christ, the Christ child breaking his hand.
Yeah. Well, we don't know that yet officially.
Well, we kind of understand that it's probably some sort of a break. I mean, x-rays portend break. Treatment portends break.
Seeing a specialist portends, I don't know, minimum fracture. So let's just go with it's not good news probably for a month or more.
Now, I laid my cards on the table last night about this stuff. I have no idea what your overall take is. I think everyone who listens to the podcast knows that they're not going to get a bunch of bleeding heart protoisms here about the future of fighting and all that jive. But basically, like, here's the thing. Like, I understand people are going to soapbox this thing about fighting and yada, yada, yada. But there's two basic problems I have with that. The first is that I see this as a reckless play by a 17-year-old. It could have been a block shot. It could have been any play on the ice in which he did something he shouldn't have done to put himself in harm's way. And he made a mistake. And that mistake resulted in him injuring himself and obviously taking him away not only from his team for a month, but potentially taking him out of World Juniors as well.
Hang on. Is it reckless or is it just an accident?
I agree with the people that say that there is no reason for Connor McDavid to fight, okay? Sidney Crosby didn't fight in junior. Crosby's fought six times, I think it is, in the NHL, and he hasn't fought, I think, since his quasi-concussion thing happened. But the idea that he's going to – because it wasn't – you know, he let his emotions get the best of him. He let a guy poking and prodding him and hitting him around get the best of him. You have to be better than
hang
that.
Hang on. McDavid. What else happened in that situation? Bryson Chianfore is the player in question, the captain of Mississauga Steelheads. I mean, if you look at that play, a couple of things happened. One, he was slashed. Connor McDavid was getting slashed all the time. Like this to me was sort of an eruption that's been going on, not just in the OHL, but at the U-17, at the U-20, and all that. He gets chopped down. So there was
got
a
chopped,
slash.
He got chopped. He got hit and he got chopped. You're absolutely right.
He got cross-checked, and then if you look at what Chianfore did, he drops his gloves and starts throwing punches at Connor McDavid. One of two things can happen. You can turtle or you can fight back. And he chose to fight back. And if you watch the fight, Connor McDavid did pretty well in that fight, considering the only other fight that he had with Liam Miscant against the Kitchener Rangers, all he wanted to do was hug and tug. That was it. It was a seatbelt fight. But this one he was actually throwing. So like at that very moment, when the Mississauga captain is throwing punches at you, you have a decision to make. Am I going to fight back or am I going to cower? Connor McDavid chose to fight back. And in the process of fighting back, punch the boards, hit the dasher. To me, it was an accident. And to me, the big story out of all of this, we've continued to hear time and time again, we don't want the Dancing Bears. We don't want the two designated sluggers. We don't want the two guys that you're supposed to go out there and have the fight. We don't want the, wait for it, here's the big buzz. We don't want the stage fight. We don't mind if it's a spontaneous eruption. That's fine. That's good. That's part of the game. Isn't that what this was? Isn't this the good fight that we're all supposed to like? Oh, we'll put up with. Well, this is the fight that we'll put up with. This is the spontaneous sort of eruption. This one's fine. But now somehow it's not because in the course of a fight, oh my goodness, someone hurt his hand.
I made that very point last night, and I agree with you. I mean, you know, if the middle ground that's been sought out by the anti-fighting people, the ones that don't want a total ban on the thing, are that there are good fights and there are bad fights. If you get rid of the circus stuff and just leave the fighting to the players that have a, you know, minimum number of time on ice per game, I guess that qualifies you to fight, then everything will be fine. The other aspect of that, too, that I had a problem with last night were the people that call for a ban on fighting, especially at the junior level, like Damian Cox, who... You know, that's all well and good. And I understand that if we have suspensions for any fight, the fighting will naturally decrease. But are you telling me that the heat of the moment fight that we still see happen in leagues that do have bans on fighting and suspensions and auto suspensions and all that stuff, that the heat of the moment fight will actually never occur? Like all fighting will be eradicated? That's Pollyanna horseshit. That fight last night still happens if there's a fighting ban. That's the bottom line.
100%.
That's the fight that still 100%. Happens.
Yeah. Even if you throw guys out of the game for a fight, that fight still happens.
Absolutely.
100% true. Now, here's the other thing where I'm at on fighting. In the NHL, those are your own decisions. That's your money. That is your career. I get that. Junior, NCAA, that's where you're making that transit. That's when you're hedging your bets and you're trying to find your way into a pro career in hockey. I don't mind. Like, if fighting went away, quote unquote, went away, whatever that means, in junior, I would be fine with it. These are kids whose bodies and brains are still developing. There's a large, you know, developmental curve between the ages of 16 and 20, where there isn't between the ages of 25 and 30. That's just mainly why I'm cool with it at the NHL level. And you're a man at that point. You make your own choices. I'd be fine if hockey, if fighting went away in junior and the penalties were more stiff. I'm cool with that. But your point is the right one. No matter what that penalty was, a 5-minute major or a game misconduct or a mandatory one-game suspension, that fight is still happening. You know what we saw last night, Wish? We saw an accident. That's it. We saw an accident. And to try to make it about a comment on the game, either way, pro-fighting or anti-fighting, is kind of folly to me.
I will disagree with you here. We'll pull a little versus in Merrick versus Wyszynski today.
Because finally.
As there's plenty of it. Every time I bring up steak. The problem I have with it is that, you know, and I hate, there's a certain disattachment that I have with professional athletes that others don't. Sometimes I view them as pixels on a screen. Sometimes I view them as pieces on a chessboard. Sometimes, and it's to my detriment, and maybe I should see a therapist for it, I don't see the ultimate human side of things sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I look at Connor McDavid and I see that fight last night, and I don't mean to say this, I know that we're going to have Sherwood Bassett on, the GM of the Erie Otters, and I don't mean to say this to besmirch the good name of junior hockey, but that is an investment that I saw drop his gloves last night. That is a corporation that I saw drop his gloves last night. If I am Connor McDavid, I take the Sidney Crosby route, and I don't fight a thing. I don't fight a hunger pang in junior. No. I don't do any. I don't drop my gloves to take them off after a blizzard. I don't do anything. No. I am way more important than getting stuck and hit in junior hockey and putting myself in a situation where I'm going to get my moneymaker, my thing that's going to be on Reebok posters, is going to get punched in the face. I hate to be cruel. I hate to be cold about it and calculating about it, but that's the bottom line. That kid's an investment. He's not a player anymore.
Yeah.
He's the number one pick in the draft, signed, sealed, delivered. He is a corporation on skates, and the idea that he put himself in harm's way for, again, not to say junior hockey regular season game, is kind of bothersome to me.
Yeah, I can understand that. It's a spontaneous moment for a 17-year-old. Having said that, if you want to draw the Sidney Crosby comparison, I will still maintain that Connor McDavid gets harassed and poked and slashed and chopped more than Sidney Crosby did. Now, Sidney Crosby had to deal with Maxime Lapierre at that point playing for the Rocket, who hounded him every time Rimouski played the Rocket. It was nasty, and I'm still surprised that Sid never snapped when those two teams met. But
I went back and looked at the Memorial. What was the Memorial Cup tournament that he had against Corey Perry's team.
London Knights, yeah, 2005. That was in London at Budweiser Gardens.
I went back and looked at some of the game reports in that story last night when I was writing my McDavid piece, and every single one of them talked about Sid getting shut down by getting mauled and abused. One player on the Knights actually said, "We punched him in the face as much as we could." For God's sakes, right?
Really?
But what did Sid do? Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. And Sid didn't drop. He got flustered as he often does, but he didn't drop.
I don't remember a player dropping his gloves and starting to punch Sid in the face, right? The way that Forney did last night with the Mississauga Ice Dogs. Like, that's it. Like, now, mind you, Connor turned to engage, but engage in, like, shoving and pushing and mutual cross-checking. And then, all of a sudden, Bryson drops his gloves and lands, what, two quick punches on McDavid before he gets his gloves off? Like, Cianfore got a couple of shots in quick. And then McDavid said, "All right, F it, I'm going." Like, it's that moment.
Right.
I know it's always the authenticity card, but I've been in that moment. I know how I've reacted. I'm not sure if you've ever been in that moment, whether it's on the ice, in a bar, on the street, wherever, where someone's like, "That's it, we're doing this."
Listen, because I can't skate backward doesn't mean I've not been in a fight, Eric.
No, I'm just saying, like, this life in general. Like, there are going to be those moments where it's like, okay, what am I doing here? What am I going to do? And for me, like, one of two things has to happen. If you don't want this to happen, and, you know, we don't want our superstars fighting, and we don't want this, like, first of all, there was no place for the gorilla to jump in. And you mentioned Sherry's coming on in a couple of moments. And I think the last, you know, designated tough guy essentially that Erie had was Johnny Maguire. And but even if you had Johnny Maguire on the bench for Erie, there was no time for someone to jump in that situation and quote unquote protect Connor McDavid. It happened in a matter of a couple of seconds, really fast, and that fight was on. So one of two things has to happen. Either we have a return of the guy who patrols the ice and makes sure the superstars are safe, and I think that was gone the way of the dodo bird, or two, officials need to really crack down on one thing specifically, the harassment of superstars.
Hmm.
The slashing, and the cross checks, the pokes behind the knees, all of it. This guy, and whether it's the U-17 tournament where he got decimated in the U-17s. Not that he was on the ice a ton last year in the U-20s, but when he plays in the OHL, when he plays internationally, the attention that Connor McDavid gets leads other players to take certain liberties with him. And it has happened since he joined the OHL. Happened his first shift. Okay, Erie's playing Niagara. Who takes a run at him? Dougie Hamilton. Now, mind you, it's a great hit. But he's lining up as a rookie, and who's he looking up against? Oh, yeah, he's lining up against Ryan Strome. Oh, okay. And then who's the defenseman? First time McDavid has the puck going through the neutral zone. Who steps up on him in a huge hit? Dougie Hamilton. This guy's been run at ever since then. So either we want the gorillas back to quote-unquote protect, and that's not going to happen, or officials need to really crack down. If you want to protect superstars, then you really need to start cracking down on people that take liberties with them.
And let's go alternate universe here for a second. Let's look at two scenarios, okay? Alternate universe number one is the one in which we don't have any fighting in the OHL. And what happens, happens last night. And what's McDavid's response? Is it to skate away? Or is it to then slash back, poke back, cross-check in the face back? Like, what do you think is going to happen? In the heat of the moment, which is the reason that fight happened, what happens if there's no fighting? Is there? I mean, let's say there's a 20-game ban for fights. How does he react?
Slashes back. Cross-checks
exactly.
Back.
And I know that it's such a it can be a straw man argument to say, well, what head of the Hydra rises up if you cut off the fighting one? But that's a serious – I mean, that's always been a serious concern for me, is that we have these guys skating around with weapons in their hands. And if we don't allow them to let off the steam, as has often been said by guys who understand fighting much more than many of us do, you have to open up that valve occasionally. If you don't, it manifests itself another way. And I look at that play last night and say, if those guys know they can't fight or they get like a 20-game ban, McDavid is taking his stick and he's shoving it down his throat.
Let me give you a I'm going to read you a text exchange I had this morning with one OHL coach who I won't say who it is. I sent him at 12:03.
If the text says while the guy is celebrating you're free to hit him from behind, I think I know who it is.
No, it is not Dale Hunter. This is not Dale Hunter. I'll tell you who it isn't. It isn't Dale Hunter. Okay. I just sent the text. What did you think of McDavid? And he sends back, as a kid or player or the fight. I said all three in the play leading up to it. First of all, he said, phenomenal kid. I can't give his character enough credit. As far as being a player, he's by far the most dynamic player I've ever seen. Reminds me more of Lemieux than Sidney in that everything he does is effortless. And here's the one, the fight. Ah, it happens. At least he shows he cares. His intentions were good. That comes from a very significant OHL coach, not Dale Hunter,
listen,
by the way.
I think it's stupid what he did, but you can't argue that his intentions were good. Now, I think his intentions have been misinterpreted by some people to say he's sticking up for himself to show everyone they can't mess with him. Oh, yeah? Great plan. You know what people think now? He can't punch you. He's going to hit the glass
or miss your head. I'll tell you what that was 3 years of frustration. That was 3 years of getting chopped and cross-checked and then some guy punching him in the face. Some guy punching him in the face and him saying, you know what? I'm standing up for myself. Enough of this.
Alternative universe number two.
Okay.
And this is another – we're going through the wormhole here. We're going to another reality.
Okay.
Let's say he doesn't get hurt on the play.
And oh, man.
Every highlight reel in America, now that we all are much more aware of Connor McDavid than maybe we were when he first had his first fight, every highlight reel is Connor McDavid getting slashed and then engaging in a fight and then winning the fight because he was – Let's call it like it is. If this was HBO, he was the head on points. Jim, I got this thing scored 10-8 McDavid. Right? So that's what we're dealing with right now. He was ahead on points. So if it hadn't been a case where he injured his hand against the glass, we are sitting here calling him Connor McGordy or Connor McProbert. Like, we are exalting this kid as the throwback star that Sidney isn't.
All of a sudden, there's another element to his game. He keeps adding on layers. Look at the way he moves laterally. Oh, my God, it's amazing. And now he's shooting more. He's not a pass-first player. He can shoot as well. And now he's added the other dimension to his game. Is there anything Connor McDavid can't do? 100% wish. He doesn't injure himself in that play. All of a sudden, his status takes another leap in this country. And not just in this country, around the entire hockey world.
We'll go down a third wormhole here, in fairness to the people that are saying this is another fighting wank off on this podcast. Let's say he doesn't break his hand, which we assume he has in some manner. Mm-hmm. Let's say he gets plugged in the head and gets a concussion. Mm-hmm. Now what are we talking about?
Then we're talking about, well, it was his decision to fight. Now, mind you, he did get cross-checked and slashed, and he ate two punches before he got his gloves off. But it's still his decision to get his gloves off. That's still his. This wasn't a headshot. This wasn't a guy running at him. This is Connor McDavid saying, okay, let's do this. And everybody knows that you can get hurt in a fight. No one, you know, I always find it funny. Oh, well, to all those people that say you can't get hurt in a fight, who says that? Like, this has become, like, all of a sudden, the stereotype of the knuckle dragger who loves fights. Oh, he doesn't think anyone can get hurt. Well, who's saying that no one can get hurt in fights anymore? Right. I mean, that's long gone. That's like 15, 20 years ago.
There's a lot of that, man. You know, there's a lot of that stuff about just bad information on both sides of the debate. And listen, I'm entertained by the debate because I find the debate to be intriguing, and it makes me go into the trenches and makes me feel like I'm back in college arguing against Rangers and Flyers fans and news groups because it's such a nasty debate. But the bottom line for me is twofold. It's one. I don't think that this fight should be tied into the larger narrative because I think it's its own animal. And two,
I agree.
Now the time for solemn reflection is in our friends on the other side of the aisle, who have been telling us incessantly, it's not about the real hockey fights. It's about the goonage and the staged fights and the circus acts. Well, if you have a problem with what happened last night, then you need to reevaluate once again how you feel about hockey fighting, because that's the fight you want to happen. That's the fight that you've been telling us is an okay fight to happen. So if you have a problem with it, then maybe you're the guy who doesn't want fighting at all, and now you're total pacifist, and now you got to look into yourself and say, well, if I don't want fighting, then what else don't I want? Do I want checking gone? Because more people get hurt on checks than they do on fights.
That's true. That's what I've maintained for the longest time, though, Wish, and you've heard me consistently on this podcast. Body checking is more dangerous than fighting. I do want to say one thing. I want to make one thing clear, and this is maybe where you and I differ. To the two people that have, you know, led the conga line for anti-fighting, and that's Damian and Adam, I don't have a problem with their perspective. I don't agree with it necessarily. But I will say one thing in their defense. I really do believe their heart is in the right place. I really think that, and I will never criticize someone whose intentions are, specifically in this instance, to protect kids. Like, I understand where their heart is at. I maybe disagree as far as headspace goes, but isn't that sort of gets right at, I've talked about this before, isn't that what gets right at the heart of sport? It's a conflict between what your heart thinks and what your head knows. That's the conflict. My head says, of course, fighting. What do you mean fighting? What? But then there is that moment. Like, you put yourself in Connor McDavid's position at that moment. Ask yourself right now, what would you do? You're an elite level player. You're the best in the game. You're going to go first overall. You've had 3 years of getting cross-checked in the lower spine, of getting slashed in the wrists every time you come over the blue line. This guy's just done both of those things to you, and now he's dropped his gloves and he's punched you twice in the face. Ask yourself, honestly, what would you do?
I would leave, skate over to the bench, get my cell phone, call my representatives, and ask them what to do. And then if they say don't fight, then politely ask if they can have that player murdered.
Because he has that kind of power to have that done.
Just make him disappear. All right, we're going to continue. I'm sorry that we went so long on McDavid, and we're going to continue talking about McDavid with his GM in a second. But it's the topic of the day, all over hockey and in many ways sports. It's really interesting to see how big this thing has gotten. So hopefully we have time before the interview to do this thing that we do, which is to All right, we don't have time at all.
Let's go ahead and hit the intro, Merrick. Okay, here he is, and he's one of my favorite people, in not just in junior hockey, but in all of hockey to talk to, and unfortunately I don't get a chance to do it enough. He's been around hockey long before you and I, Greg, and he's one of the most informative and entertaining people to talk to. He's the general manager of the Erie Otters, our good friend Sherry Bassin. Sherwood, how are you today, sir?
Jeff, one of the good guys I've known all my years, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
You're fun.
Always have time for you guys.
The last time you came on, you delighted everybody with the story of the Wendell Clark Matt Sundin trade, which was a delightful romp through the anatomy of a deal. But we're going to go through here, and Sherry, I know you've talked about this over the past 18 hours ad infinitum. You've appeared on, you've taken every single phone call, answered every single text, and been on various media. But when you're watching that game yesterday, and you're watching Connor get slashed, I might be biasing here the situation, but he's getting slashed, he's getting cross-checked, the Mississauga captain drops his gloves and hits him twice in the face, what goes through Sherry Bassin's mind?
Oh, well, let me tell you what goes through. It's funny, and I'm glad to share this. What's really bothering me about this, and everybody's talking about fighting, no fighting, is what we've been talking about for a long time, respect in sport. It's an unwritten rule, Jeff, that we don't fight superstars. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it was an embarrassment. When I played, there was no video, so you don't know how good I was, but I can tell you I wasn't very good. But there's no evidence of that. So the older I get, I tell everybody I'm a lot better than I was. The point is this. It was unheard of. I was listening to a story last night where one of the players on a team made some demeaning remark to Iserman. And his own player said, like, this is Iserman. Like, what are you doing? Now we're going to have to fight for somebody dumb as you. Like, there's just this, it's just like the job. I have deep respect for what you guys do. You work hard at it. I've talked to you at different times of the day. You're trying to be on top of it. You're trying to be informative. It's called respect, not being liked. There's a difference between being respected and liked. If you can only be one, be respected. And so the fact remains, if you can be both, fine, but if you can only be one. This respect about, you just don't fight superstars, okay? And that's the issue that I'm concerned about right now. We would never have heard of it. Now, in the olden days, or in my days, shouldn't say the olden days, you know, we had the protectors there. So by perception, you knew that if you were going to deal with this dude, let's get at it. And the issue when I saw that, that's what I was disturbed about. Now, hockey is not a contact sport. Dancing is a contact sport. Hockey is a collision sport. So by the nature of the emotion that flows, there's a lot of people saying, well, what's he doing fighting? Shoulda, coulda, woulda. That's a lot of negative energy. And the emotion of the moment in a contact sport, which you guys cover so thoroughly and dissectively, people are going to react. Who knows what he's like? He didn't want people interfering for him all the time. Maybe he said, I've had enough of it. We do react to certain situations. You guys get emotional in the middle of a moment when you're dissecting something that you don't like what you saw. So it's not a rule but sport. So what went through my mind? Wow, I was in the upper deck and almost jumped to the lower deck. So that's the emotion that was going through me. I like to tell you that I can contain it because I say don't get too high on the highs, don't get too low on the lows, but people don't come to see fights. They come to see the Connor McDavids. They come to see the Crosbys, the Gretzkys. This business about suggesting they come to see fights has been used a little bit as a deterrent, and we've worked hard in our league to deter fighting. All this planned fighting, the stage fighting, tough guys fighting tough guys, it's all been eliminated. You're penalized if it's after a whistle or immediately after a whistle. Now, does it happen when you and I go in the corner and I elbow Jeff Merrick and he slashes me back and we look at each other, say, get out of here? But it's very limited amount of fighting now. Mm-hmm. And sure. I think that it's graduating to a point that, but if you take it out, Jeff, I hate to be so long-winded in my answer here.
No, it's fine.
If we take it out, get ready for a lot of whistles. Because then we got to take care of that slashing and all the things that's going to be done. Because the defense to a quality, to such a high level player as Connor McDavid is, take the body. And if they're clean, I'm going to live with it.
You mentioned
the nature of getting in the game.
You mentioned protection of stars, and that's it's a good point. And I wonder where you think that protection falls. Does it fall, say, within the roster of the Erie Otters to have people to step up and not have a situation where Connor McDavid needs to fight? Or does it fall more on, say, the OHL to ensure that there are penalties called, suspensions handed out, more protection for star players who obviously are getting, you know, liberties taken against?
Good question. And very good question. I think it's basically the responsibility of both. And I think by and large, and the way we're developing, and first of all, we don't want Connor McDavid fighting. We want him hugging. Okay? Because we have players that can take care of business if somebody's inclined to do that and show a lack of respect. But in the emotion of the moment, you know, the spotlight's on him. First of all, Connor McDavid, the superstars that you guys cover. I love listening to you guys and watching you and stuff like that. It's not pressure to these guys. That's why they're stars. It's opportunity. It's opportunity. Their level of panic is very low. Whether it's a baseball player, or football player, or basketball player, bring it on. So, the reason they're superstars is because they excel in moments like this. Mm-hmm. So when people say all the pressure he's on, he doesn't look like it. He doesn't deal with it as pressure. He doesn't even think of that word.
Sherry, I do need to ask you, too, and we probably should have started the interview with this. What is the latest that you've heard about Connor McDavid?
I'm sad to tell you, but happy to tell you what we know up to this point in time. At this present moment, he's seeing a hand specialist at Orthopod specialized in. We're inclined to believe that there is a slight fracture there, or some type of fracture. I shouldn't describe it as slight or whatever it is. We've had these things before, though, to be honest with you guys. And then we've found that when they did see the hand specialist, it wasn't anywhere as serious as we thought it might be. Mm-hmm. We've had orthopods. I mean, we're seeing the hand specialist because we're concerned that there is a fracture. And I've had other incidents where we were concerned there was a fracture, and then when the specialist looked at it, it wasn't. And at that time, it'll determine what the length of recovery is if it's confirmed. And we're going to know that by 6 o'clock tonight.
Now, Sherry, as you know, we have your team and the Niagara Ice Dogs on Friday Night Hockey. Is there any chance we could get Connor to Lourdes quickly and heal him up fast and bring him back Friday for the game?
Hey, listen, I'll tell you how I feel about it. That's a good question. I would like to think that you could move the game up a day if he's ready.
Thursday night hockey with the Erie Otters and the Niagara Ice Dogs.
So my point is that, you know, the real thing, and you've got to experience sometimes when you talk to him, whatever, this guy's a super person. Like I've visited with you in many times. Mm-hmm. The combination, I've had a lot of players with a lot of ability. I've said it a million times that I wish I had more character. I've had a lot of players with a lot of character. I wish I had more ability. When you put them both together, you get a superstar. Mm. And this guy won the Academic Player of the Year award. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. Yep. About this dude. And the real thing is this. That's what I want the people to know when they're looking at this, and we watch all the tic-tac-toe, how's your mama, that he can do at just bullet speed. Yeah. The real thing is that this guy is such a, you know, his leadership qualities, everything he does very quietly to excel. He works very hard at it. You're not just born with this ability. I mean, he just, in my waning years, for an old duffer like I am, what a treat that I got to be around this guy as a person, never mind his talent.
Mm-hmm. You know, Sherry, the last real slugger you had was Johnny Maguire, who did
right.
it quite well, thank you very much. Now, Corey Genovese can really handle his mitts as well, as you mentioned. There are guys on the roster that can do that. But when you see what Connor's gone through for 3 years, is there part of Sherry Bastin that says, you know what, maybe we need to get another Johnny Maguire type back here on the Erie Otters to make sure this guy's a little more insulated?
Well, actually, you know, I mean, we have three or four guys that can pick him up and lay him down. You know, that, and one of the guys, Genovese, was there, like, he's had a numerous suspensions and so forth.
Yeah.
That in itself was a deterrent about getting involved. So we have McDermott, and we have our share of guys that can take, as they call it, take care of business if it has to be. And that's why they were even yelling, just hug them.
Yeah, so, seatbelt them. Just like, well, like the Miscant fight and then the Kitchener game as well.
Right.
Like that's the Connor fight you want to see. He drops his mitts and he holds on. You know,
that's exactly. And we, to be honest with you, we want him hugging.
Yeah.
With you know, like that.
Sorry, Greg, I got one more here, sort of in that spirit for Sherry. You know, not that long ago, that fight happens, okay, with Bryson Chinfore and Connor McDavid. That fight happens. Connor leaves the game. The Mississauga captain serves his 5 minutes. He's back on the ice. You know, not that long ago, that player doesn't finish the game, Sherry.
Not that long ago, in confirmation what you're saying, that game may still be on.
True.
You know what I mean? You may be calling me to see at what point in time is it in the third period.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that, you know, we've come along with, because that's emotional too. Emotion begs emotion. And as you guys have uncovered this so thoroughly, and so make no mistake about it that and that's almost a reaction that's been inbred since I grew up as a little kid in a small town in northern Saskatchewan. So, you know, and that's what teamwork's about, though. I mean, let's be honest. When they send out these special forces guys, those guys are brothers. They stick up for each other. They got to know exactly what they're doing. Those guys that went and got Osama bin Laden, they knew every step every one of those guys were taking. They were backing each other up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be sure that that's the kind of thing about, you know, one of the things I talk about in the sport, if you two guys are playing with me, do I want to win for you guys?
Hmm.
Or do I just want to win for myself?
Hmm. Right.
It's important that I want to win for you guys.
Last one real quick, and thanks again for your time, man, and a busy time for you. But this obviously has sparked the fuse on the fighting debate, and specifically whether we should even have any semblance of fighting at the junior level. We know that the OHL has taken on players that have multiple fights, the goons, if you will. Do you think they need to tighten up fighting rules overall and maybe go with longer automatic suspensions for anybody that fights?
You know, I think, first of all, that's definitely a topic in our league. One thing about Dave Branch and his leadership, you know, where we've come from and where we're going, and I happen to be on the competitions committee meeting, and I want to separate my emotion right now from common sense, but make no mistake that not only that topic, but the issues that you're talking about are going to definitely be dissected.
Sherry, you're the best. Thanks as always for your time. Look forward to seeing, I guess we'll position now, is Dylan Strome and the Erie Otters Friday against the Niagara Ice Dogs, unless you can get him that ticket to Lourdes and bring him back for Friday, Sherry.
I'm going to be fighting to do it.
Attaboy. Thanks, Sherry. Always a pleasure.
Always fun. Keep punching.
Sherwood Basson. Basson. Awesome, man. He is such a treasure in Canadian hockey. Every time I get a chance, whether it's a top prospects game or the draft, or do yourself a favor. Next time you're at an event and Sherry Bastin is there, make sure you sit next to him.
Yeah.
It's a total education. And he's entertaining and he's funny, but there's a really smart hockey guy in there. Like, as you can tell, a really sharp hockey mind. I all the time in the world for Sherwood.
Interesting. Thoughts, anybody? By the way, as we pivot, I want to get in some going postal with you before you have to punt.
Yeah, I got to get to Sportsnet to do a hit.
And then we're going
to
trade up because Henrik Lundqvist is going to join us after you leave.
Oh, you get to interview him with dreamy eyes, do you?
Will you
be able to contain yourself?
Two stunning trendsetters of style, but I believe that Lundqvist may have a few over on you. Any thoughts on last night's games? I mean, obviously one of the big takeaways for me was the Colorado Avalanche once again just taking it right on the chin against the Islanders last night. I watched Patrick Waugh's press conference after the game hoping for something volcanic. We did not get it. But holy smokes, what a terrible loss that was.
Yeah, it's a bad one, and it's against the Islanders, the team on the horizon, the team that's turning heads this year, or maybe I should just say the team that's finally doing what they thought they should have been doing for the past couple of years. Now they're all healthy and they're playing well. To me, a couple of takeaways last night. I know everyone is gushing over him, and it's still early, and how can you hand this guy the Calder and all that? But as much as I've gushed about Damon Severson, man, is Aaron Ekblad a good defenseman?
Yeah, and
can Aaron Ekblad play some defense?
And he's getting it now too. He's got I think three, maybe like somewhere around the lines of like 6 points in his last six games. He was a +3 last night against the Sharks. He's starting to get it too. He's playing real well.
Yeah,
real well.
He's playing great for Florida, who 5-on-5, which continue to be an excellent hockey team.
Yeah.
And they really are playing well 5-on-5. The other takeaway to me, and again, every now and then you find a little chestnut. I mean, it was on this podcast. I think we talked about Yuri Laterra and how he could be the big difference maker for the St. Louis Blues. And that battery between Laterra and Vladimir Tarasenko so far has been silky smooth. And Laterra last night was brilliant.
Shh. Only 30% of Yahoo users know that he's playing with Tarasenko and have drafted him for fantasy. So
okay, I'll just dummy up then. All right.
My two takeaways last night, obviously, the Devils. Pete DeBoer putting his junk on the table, saying, look, I know everyone in the world thinks that we should play Keith Kincaid in this game. I know everybody in the world thinks I'm exhausting Corey Schneider, playing his 15th out of 15, only player in the National Hockey League to play, only goalie in the National Hockey League to play all of his team's games. But I have faith in him. I think this is what he needs. And lo and behold, he gives up a terrible goal to Ryan Carter to put Minnesota back in the game, but otherwise shuts the door, 3-1 Devils. Schneider with the type of performance he's not had this season for them. So, I mean, kudos. Listen, DeBoer's coaching for his life anyway, but to put your balls on the table like that and start Schneider back-to-back games number 14 and 15 consecutively and have them come away with a win last night was a hell of a gamble, and he paid off.
You think Pete DeBoer's coaching for this job right now? Really?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, sure. The Devils are completely underwhelming. They should be a lot better than they are, for sure. And some of that is the PK, and some of that is Schneider. But listen, you have to also have to remember that, like, you know, as far as the shelf life of coaches goes, he's that can of corn that you have on the shelf in case the apocalypse hits. Like, he's been there for quite a while in Lamarillo terms.
There will be a lineup of teams that when they fire their coaches will be knocking on Peter DeBoer's door quick.
Absolutely, no question about that. And I don't know where the Devils would go after that, I think he's still coaching for his
Jacques Lemaire. Jacques Lemaire.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Or, Scott Stevens. Somebody that they're familiar with.
And then Phil Coker tweets in a good one. Refer to them by their proper names, Jeff Merrick. Laterra Senko brothers, courtesy of Matt Reifert. That is really good. That is awesome.
And the other takeaway last night is once in a while you watch a game between an Eastern Conference team and a Western Conference team, and things just click, and you say to yourself, you know what, self? I could totally kick back and watch a few of these games that mean something in June. And that's how I felt watching Tampa Bay and Chicago last night.
I saw you tweet that. That would be a good final for you.
Fun-ass final.
Yeah.
Good goaltending. Tampa's got a little bit of a nasty streak that can come out sometimes. Guys like Paquette. Hedman's not even playing, and he's sort of like, prongery at times. That matchup between those two teams, and to have Kane and Stamkos and Taves in the same series too, that could be super fun series if those two team up for the cup.
I'm right with you on that. Styles make fights and styles make games. I'm down with Tampa, Chicago.
All right. Do you have time for a
couple
questions?
I got a couple minutes, then I gotta go. I gotta hustle the sports net.
All right. Let's do a Wednesday favorite, shall we?
We have an intro rating. Maybe it's standing by. Maybe it's not. Oh, Matt just says it. Yeah, filibuster. Why do we even do it? Why do we do intros when they take this long to set up and cue and actually get on the air? Like, really wish. Why do we're just sucking up time?
Brad Perella. Let's screw it. Brad Perella writes in, Hey, guys, just wondering if anyone ever thought to put the All-Star game outdoors. That's all, go Preds.
Yes, it's been talked about before.
I think it's been talked about on the league level.
I think it was after the Pittsburgh Buffalo Winter Classic that they first talked about, okay, how many times are we going to do this? What are we going to use this for? And one of the ideas that was floated out there is, you know, let's not make, you know, too many league, because the consideration was the game is played at about 70%. It's not a 100% NHL game because of the, you know, because of the climate, because of what the ice is like. The guys aren't going at 100%. The concern was, do we really want to, you know, scalp one game every year and say it's going to look good, but it's not going to be real NHL hockey? So one of the ideas was take it outside, and it's been floated every now and then, but. I would do that on one condition.
You do Saturday night in an arena and then Sunday outdoors. Because I do not want to see my skills competition ruined by shitty ice. Do not want it. Love the skills competition.
Awesome point. That is a very good
point.
Yeah, I never thought of that. It's a great point.
Fred in Philly writes saying, greetings, Jeff and Greg. We all know the sandwich is mankind's greatest creation. What are your favorite sandwiches, homemade or otherwise? I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, really? God, you know what's funny? I'm not really much of a sandwich guy. More of a salad guy. Yeah, I can't come to think of it now. I'm trying to think of the last sandwich that I had. I guess would a falafel be considered a sandwich?
It could, sure, in certain countries.
Then I would go falafel, because I don't really have, like, you know, the two pieces of bread and stuff a whole bunch of junk in between. Yeah,
three
probably falafel for me. Go for it. You're a big sandwich guy. I know that, yeah.
Denix in Philadelphia at that big market where they do a roasted pork sandwich with broccoli rabe is a religious experience, and I highly recommend having that experience once in your life. This is hardcore Jersey right here. Mike's Subs in Keyport, New Jersey makes a tuna sub that is I can't even describe how good it is. I'm actually salivating as we speak. The tuna is mayonnaised to within an inch of its life, but not over mayonnaised. The bread is fresh. Everything is great. It's the best tuna sub I've ever had. And finally, you can make this at home, ladies and gentlemen. Kaiser roll, bacon, Gruyere cheese, an over easy egg, and bite down. And that's your breakfast. And it's just heaven. Absolutely heaven.
Does that come with paddles, or do you have to?
You don't have to put all. You can use turkey bacon.
Bring those your own. Okay.
You can use turkey bacon. Brad Furman writes in, "Hey guys, curious. With all the talk of Vegas,
good one.
I wanted to find out what you guys knew about no trade clause, no move clauses, and how they could affect the inevitable expansion draft. I don't think there were ever really any of those clauses around last expansion." The strategy behind leaving a guy exposed if a GM knows the player is exempt from expansion draft due to contract no move clause, plus GMs may be even preparing for it by handing more or less of those clauses out. Now, I'd have to check the CBA, but I would imagine if you have a no move clause, that would also exempt you from being exposed to the expansion draft.
I would assume that's
no trade clause, not so much.
I don't know 100%. I don't know 100%.
No trade clause does not protect you from being put on waivers. So that'd be,
correct.
I imagine that's the same formula. No move clause, no expansion draft, no trade clause, you can be exposed.
But is being exposed in an expansion draft the same as being put on waivers? Because being put on waivers, you're being exposed to all NHL, other NHL teams by process of elimination starting with the team in last place. But in an expansion draft, you're being only exposed for one or two teams. The question I ask myself then, does that even matter? I don't know. That is a really good question. I don't know.
The DNA of an expansion draft is closer to a trade than it is to waivers.
Well, you're only exposing yourself. Like if it's a one-team expansion and everyone's got to leave,
right?
You know,
because the no-trade clause basically exists to say I don't want to go here. And you probably don't want to go to an expansion team.
Is it closer to a trade or is it closer to being put on waivers? I would argue trade if it's only a one-team expansion.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a great question.
I don't know. That is a really good question. People listen to this podcast. How we get so dumb?
Paul Vogel writes, and you guys talking about fighting is almost as bad as listening to Merrick complain about the original six. We know where you stand. I don't need it to be rehashed.
So don't listen. If you know what we're going to say, go away. Pretty simple. I don't need you. It's okay. Bye.
Hang on. Okay. Use your time better by complaining about the Montreal Canadiens being named the Canadiens despite having non-Canadian players playing for them. You're such a dick. You were such a dick to our friend Paul and didn't even let him get to the punchline.
I know. You're right. I'm sorry, Paul. I don't know where I came off on that one. Sorry, bud.
Finally, and this is one for you real quick. Curtis Lazar and Kyle Turris going back to Vancouver got me thinking. Got any interesting money on the board stories? Brian from Ottawa.
Interesting money on the board. I mean, nothing other than, you know, the amounts that are actually put up on there. I'd have to think about money on the board
which
stories.
Which are ridiculous, been, by the way.
What? Money on the boards? Money on the board?
Yeah. Thousands of dollars, I've heard, in some cases. Money
absolutely
on the board.
True. 100% true. Yeah. Yes. True. Yes. That's how much you
it's
want to
crazy
beat.
Pants.
Beat your own team. Yeah,
I like when coaches get involved, like the Ron Wilson one. In San Jose.
Not allowed. No, that doesn't happen in the NHL. That circumvents the CBA, Greg Wyshynski. You just stop right there. That does not happen. Coaches do not put money on the board. You cannot compensate a player above and beyond what he is bound to by the CBA. How dare you, Greg Wyshynski? How dare you? Doesn't happen.
Dave Burr writes in that last night Jeremy Roenick said Florida is a team with a lot of great young talent, but for them to improve, they will need to address the goaltending situation. I can't be right. That has to be a misstatement.
I didn't hear it. I didn't see it, so either. I can't comment on it, whether Jeremy actually said that.
He also said that scouts are going to be impressed with the grittiness McDavid showed last night. Because, you know, scouts aren't impressed with McDavid anyway. Finally he fought.
You know who's impressed with it? Coaches and other players. You've asked any player around the OHL, they'll tell you the same thing. Good for him for sticking up for himself.
Yeah.
It's a fight out of frustration, but two, it's one that gets you the respect of your peers. Oh, but that's stupid. Fighting is dumb. Okay, well, talk to the guys that are involved in all of this. And don't just do that thing where, hockey players will just say anything and they're a bunch of brain-dead zombies. We watch the game. We know better. Like, put some stock in what these people say. Like, listen to them. This is their experience. Have some respect and listen to what they say.
There it is.
Yeah. I got to go talk about Connor McDavid on Sportsnet now. I'm going to go put makeup on in a suit.
You weren't in full makeup in a suit now?
Nah, I'm just wearing jeans and a hoodie. Surprise, surprise.
All right. Yeah. There you go.
You go talk to the stylish guy, the stylish goaltender.
Yeah, if he shows up.
I like talking to Sherwood Basson. You talk to Henrik Lundqvist. That's more.
Someone asked if that was Phil Esposito. I guess people feel as though maybe his voice is a little.
He does have his Sherwood, voice. Is, Sherwood has a good voice. Yeah.
He's got the I live the life voice, but I think Phil is more grumbly, gravelly, and rumbly than Sherry is at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's true.
We're having Lundqvist on because I'll see you tomorrow, by the way.
Get out of here. All right, out of here. All right, see you, boys and girls. Thanks for tuning in.
We're having Lundqvist on because he has partnered with Smith Brothers, the inventor of the first cough drop in 1847. Now, what was in that cough drop in 1847 before the FDA? I don't know. I'm guessing it probably made you feel real good. But it made you want to either stare at some lights for a while or go out and party for a bit. It was a hell of a cough drop. They're sponsoring the Rangers this year, along with the Boston Bruins and Chicago Blackhawks, who evidently all have sore throats. And they're bringing back their iconic logo, the Smith Brothers logo, the Bearded Brothers, to Duane Reade stores and Walgreens and all those other places. So Lundqvist is actually at the Duane Reade flagship store in New York City near MSG. Hopefully not the one inside of Penn Station, because, you know, the last thing I want is for Henrik Lundqvist to have a bunch of derelicts walking up to him asking for money.
I understand you got a huge contract, man. You got a dollar?
It's the last thing we need for Henrik Lundqvist. But he is partnering with Smith Brothers and doing this whole thing because he has a beard and they have beards. So that's what the whole thing is. So hopefully he'll join us here on the potty soon. I read about McDavid this morning. You can check it out if you want. I already had my fight with Damian Cox. Adam Proto is now having his fight with me through subtweeting, which is expected. But, you know, it is what it is. I stand by what I said. You know, it's like I'm tired of people retrofitting things to just try to continue banging the same drum. And the McDavid thing to me wasn't about fighting. It was about McDavid. Like, fighting didn't hurt McDavid. McDavid hurt McDavid, if you want to make it an NRA kind of argument. And so, you know, when the immediate reaction is soapboxing from people, in Proto's case, you know, he compared it to LeBron James being called a thug if he had a fight in high school in Ohio. Because you know, LeBron James being called a thug would totally be about fighting and not about a myriad other things in our culture that would result in that label being applied to him. I don't know. It's just in Proto's defense, at least he didn't get so boxy in the same way that Cox did, who basically pivoted the whole thing to a, you know, talking about a ban on fighting in the OHL. But like I said earlier, not recognizing the fact that this is the fight that would still happen if we did ban fighting in the OHL. And so it goes. So I understand why people want to, you know, group it in with all of the other fighting stuff. It's a star getting hurt in a fight. But to me, it's so much more about a guy making a bad decision. And like I said last night, like, if he had dropped down to block a shot and broke his hand, where's the conversation today? Are we opening up that? Are we getting John Tortorella on TSN to talk about the dangers of shot blocking? Like, how are we working it then? I'm just happy it sounds like the kid's going to be all right. And we'll see how it goes. Joining us down the line, he is the starting goaltender, legendary goaltender for the New York Rangers. He is Henrik Lundqvist, and he joins us here on the Merrick vs. Wyszynski podcast. Henrik, it's me, Greg, and thanks for joining us on the show. We have given all of the Smith Brothers information before you've hopped on, but you, sir, are there for Smith Brothers. You, sir, have an amazing beard. So my first question is, why do Swedes grow such ridiculously great beards?
Sorry, I have a tough time hearing you down here. I'm down in the hall.
Hey, no sweat. You're in a Dwayne Reed, the whole thing. My question, sir, is Swedish man. We've seen it on, yes, Zetterberg. We've seen it on Franzen. Why do you guys grow such amazing beards?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't really have a good answer for it either, but I think for the past few years I've been I guess too lazy to shave, so the beard's been there a lot of times, and obviously when you have a good run in the playoffs, that's when you really can tell if you have one or not. But I don't really have a good answer for you why Sweet love the beard.
So talking about that run last year, like, did you learn anything about yourself? Obviously, it's deeper into the playoffs than you've ever gone with the Rangers, with the, you know, losing to the Kings in the Cup final. You learn anything about yourself during that run?
Well, it's you know, when you go into playoffs, hold on, there's a lot of people here. I think you learn how to you know, refocus after ups and downs, and it really is a roller coaster when you're in the playoffs. And I think it's important when you you know, you move on from each game, that you start over and you don't think about what happened the night before or what's going to happen. It's exciting though. It's such a fun ride to be in the playoffs, to play under that pressure and try to achieve your goals that you set for the team and yourself. So it was definitely a lot of fun to be part of that journey that we had last year. Obviously, we came up a little short, but we're going to work really hard this year to try to go all the way this year.
In a perfect world, do you prefer the single elimination of a Olympic medal round, or do you prefer the war of attrition that's the Stanley Cup playoffs?
No, I like the traditional playoffs here. There's so much work that goes into it, and every game is so much fun. So obviously, you want to play as much as possible. When you play the Olympics, for example, it's only 2 weeks. It's a lot of excitement, but it's pretty short. It's intense, but you know, when you go into the playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, it's so much work that you put into it to get to that point, but also to move on from each round. You know, that there's, especially for us, the last couple of years, we've been going to 6 and 7 games a lot of times. So I like that. You know, it's such a big commitment from everyone to, you know, if you want to have success, it takes a lot of every player.
I was at the game last night, and your boys played a hell of a game against the Penguins. What do you say to the team after the game when they not make it easy on you? You still have to make your saves, but obviously I thought 5-on-5 outplayed the Penguins pretty significantly last night.
Well, I think our determination and energy from the get-go was really good. You know, having two tough losses over the week, and we felt the importance of the game to come back. They came in with 7 wins in a row, so obviously we have to be very hungry, and we showed that early on. And when you get that type of start, obviously you build confidence and momentum going into the game, and it definitely helped us the way we set the tone in the first period. They're a skilled team, though, and sometimes in a game like that, all they're looking for is a goal for things to turn around, but we kept our focus and played a very solid game.
Two more for you real quick, because I know we got kind of limited time. You probably are, by my estimation, the most stylish man in the New York Rangers locker room. Who would be second place as far as style in the Rangers locker room?
You know what? There's a lot of guys that they dress really well now. It's a new era, I think, when it comes to hockey players. When I came here about 10 years ago, it was a little different with older guys. Some guys cared and some guys didn't care at all, but now you see the young guys coming up and they dress well. So I think it's good. You know, they look sharp. They're ready to play when they come to the rink. So I can't really pick one, but overall, though, the standard is a lot better now than 10 years ago. Let's say that.
And finally, I think that Patrick Waugh had more of an influence on you. I remember reading that about you than this other guy did. But any thoughts on Dominik Hasek entering the Hall of Fame next week?
Yeah, you just mentioned my two favorites growing up, Patrick Waugh, Dominik Hasek. You know, they gave me a lot of inspiration when I was a young kid playing the game. And just the way they competed and the way they stepped up in big games, it was very cool to see. And also the style they had, I learned a lot. You know, I saw it on TV. I tried it in practice afterwards. So, and Hasek, he is a Hall of Famer. There's no question about it. He was such a good player for a long time, and it could change the game for every team he played for. So, well deserved.
Awesome. All right, Hank, thank you so much for your time and carving out a little time for us in this busy day for you, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
The king, ladies and gentlemen, the king of New York, Henrik Lundqvist, once again, partnering with Smith Brothers. They invented the first cough drop in 1847. Oh, if only I could get my hands on those cough drops on a Friday night now. They are bringing back their brand in Walgreens, Duane Reade, a line of wellness products that we, of course, mentioning in exchange for having Henry Lundqvist on the podcast. We make no bones about this. You pick your spots. I'm not going to turn this into an ad fest. We just talk to the king, though. You got to do what you got to do sometimes. I ain't making money off this thing. He probably is. A lot. Anyways, tonight is, of course, Rivalry Night on NBC, and we shit on Rivalry Night so much that we should acknowledge when they do have a really good night of hockey ahead of for you. Boston and Toronto at 8, LA and the Anaheim Ducks at 10:30, a true rivalry night, a doubleheader, if you will, to make up for some of the other questionable rivalry nights they've had in the past. Puck Daddy today, do check out the McDavid piece if you haven't. Do check out Josh's insider scoop on that video that's just going viral now a little bit, in which an Edmonton Oilers fan hit another Edmonton Oilers fan in the face with a pie after he was hit in the face with a pie from Nash, the Nashville Predators mascot. And then also we should mention Jen LC did another analytics piece yesterday. Puck Momalytics is the name of the column, a column that I know a lot of people on the internet don't like as far as the name goes and think that it's somehow demeaning to her or whatever. I mean, much rather people discuss the content of the columns than the name of it, but sometimes we'll get hung up on the details. Jen LC wrote a great piece about track meet teams and what that actually means. You know, teams trying to stay away from track meets, teams that want to get into track meets the whole bit, and what they all mean statistically and when it comes to analytics. It's really good stuff, and do check it out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, see you tomorrow. Thanks to our guests today, the king of New York, the man who, you know, I don't easy night last night against the Penguins. I was a little surprised, to be honest with you. He is Henrik Lundqvist, and thanks for joining us. And Sherwood Basson of the Erie Otters taking time out from what has been a very, very busy couple of 18 hours, 20 hours after McDavid's injury, joining us as well and spinning some yarns. Thanks, everybody. See you tomorrow. Bye.